This morning, we are going to look at Psalm 115. And one of the beauties of the Psalms, and indeed all of Scripture, is that though they were written in a time and place different than our current world, they dealt with the very things that tend to trip us up and separate us from fully engaging as followers of Jesus Christ. When Moses gave the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments, he said, God said this, you shall have no other gods before me. Now that's a hard commandment for humans to keep. It was when Moses uttered it, and it is for us today. Because we tend to be idolatrous people. And I would submit in our culture today, we are poly-idolatrous people. Because when I look at my own life, I'm guilty of having a shelf full of idols that compete with God's place in my life. And I believe as we look together at the 115th Psalm this morning, that through the power and the truth of Scripture, God has a word for us today on our idolatrous lives. Before we turn to Scripture, would you join me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful that you are God. We are grateful that in Christ Jesus you make a right relationship with us. And Father, may our hearts be open today to your word. May your Holy Spirit be at work in us, making our hearts fertile ground for your word to take root in us and to grow strong. And I pray that in the next few moments, the loudest voice might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to the hearts and minds of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 115 begins this way. Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to humankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. It wasn't uncommon in ancient times for a visitor to come. And often one of their first questions was, show me your gods. Show me. And in a pagan culture that relied on idolatry, it was easy for someone to walk the visitor over and say, here it is. Here is our God. Very often it was cast in a human image. That is, it looked somewhat like a human being and had human characteristics. We know from archaeological discoveries that Some idols had jewels for eyes. They had mouths and ears. But they were made by human hands, crafted and placed on a shelf. And Scripture tells us, from what we just heard from the psalmist, that those idols were made by human hands, and the human hands that made it will become like those idols. Now, if you believe in an idol, you might go, that's great. I would really like to be like that. The problem with that sentiment is this. Those idols did absolutely nothing. They sat where you put them. They didn't talk back. They didn't offer counsel. They didn't offer hope. They simply were, because they were a product of human ingenuity, human craftsmanship. They had no power other than the power that the people who made them and worshiped them assigned to them, but it was a false power. But the people of God, when asked, where is your God? The psalmist says, our God is in heaven, and he does what he pleases. Our God isn't bound to a home or a temple. Our God is alive in the world. Our God lives. Now, I would submit to you that a living God is quite different than a human created idol, isn't it? You see, a human God, an idol, just sits there. But a God alive in heaven, a God who created the universe, who created life, and who still cares and interacts with his creation, brings true power. Now, it's easy to say those silly people thousands of years ago believing in that stuff. But here's the problem. They crafted idols. Sure, they put them on a shelf. They would show people with pride, this is our God. But are we really any different? Now, I don't expect to, when COVID's over, go to anybody's house and expect them to show me the idol that's on their shelf. You see, idols are a little more insidious today than they were when they were handcrafted, anthropomorphized hunks of clay, wood, and gold. But I would submit that we are one of the most poly-idolized people in the world. Because idols, while they do nothing but stay stationary, they have this insidious way of getting into our minds and even our hearts. Jesus wasn't much on idols. He actually, with great skill, thoroughly gutted the idols of the Pharisees. You see, their idol was religious law and having everything just right, and they thought they had it all figured out. And Jesus proved, no, your idol is just sitting there. And it has no power, and it's actually a false god. He slayed idols when Satan tempted him in the desert. Satan tempted him with power, with the need for human substance. And Jesus said, take that away. See, he wasn't much on idols, and Jesus still isn't much on idols. And I think he probably grieves at the idols that all of us, followers of Christ or not, devote our life to? What are your idols? What are the things that take the central place in your life? Is it wealth? Is it health? Is it power? Is it possessions? Is it sex? Is it control? What is it that you place your trust in? The things that we place our trust in outside of God are our idols. The things that we love more than God quickly become our gods. And that's the insidious nature of an idol. You see, an idol will quickly say, "Hey, you got this. You got this. That next promotion, you got it. You got it because you've done everything you need to do to get it." Money? I don't know if you've got enough. So maybe you need to work just a little bit harder, because when is enough ever really enough? For some, it might be the gym calling you. Makes it tough in COVID. But have you run far enough this week? Have you lifted enough weights this week? Have you met all your Apple Watch fitness goals? Did you get another award? You see, we all have idols, every one of us. And don't think I'm only speaking to the people who don't know Jesus this morning, because those of us who know Jesus and are his people, we have the gift of wrapping those idols and saying, but it's really what Jesus would want us to do, right? I mean, in the church, do we not have idols? There are people who would say, well, we can't have worship without the organ. And at the same time, across the aisle, someone says, well, we can't have worship without a guitar. And you go, why? Well, because that's how you do worship. If we're not careful, that becomes our idol. For some churches, it's the translation of the Bible that you use, or the way that you baptize, or the way that you serve communion. For some, it's the time of worship or the style, but in the end, they have this insidious way of quickly becoming our idols, and we stop having Jesus at the center of our lives, and we start to have something else that's important and good, and maybe even something that God wants us to be engaged with, but not for it to be the center of our life, an idol. Think of the commercials that, if you still watch broadcast TV, you sit through. They're designed to throw up idols and to speak to our idols in every case. What are your idols? What are the things that are keeping Jesus from being the center of your life? Idols are insidious. They create a false sense of hope. And Jesus, remember, was not much on idols, because he knew that when hopelessness came, that idol was going to provide absolutely no hope. Only devastating heartbreak. We have an advantage over the people that the psalmist wrote this psalm for them to sing, and that is that we live after Christ has come and died and rose again. And we know that our God truly is alive in heaven because he rose back to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father, we're told. And he left for us the Holy Spirit of the living God to dwell in us, to be at work in our inner places, to help rid us of the scourge of our idols so that we can fully trust and fully rely on the living God as Lord. Where are your gods? Show them to me. The psalmist's response in verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. All you Israelites, bless the Lord. Trust in him. He is their help and their shield. The house of Aaron, trust the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron, and he will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not left with idols that sit right where we place them, that tell us what we want to hear, that tell us we've got this. No, we were redeemed and are in the process of being made new by the God who is alive in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done for us. And because of that, we're not reliant on a hopeless idol, but with the hope-filled Savior of the world. How could our homes be different if Jesus truly were at the center of our lives? How could our neighborhoods be different if Jesus really were our one true God? How might our work environment look different and how we interact with it if Jesus truly were the center of our lives? How might our city, our state, our country look different if Jesus really were the center of our lives? Rather than hoping upon hope of an idol that only has the power to sit there and tell us in our minds what we think we want to hear. You see, putting Jesus at the center of our lives doesn't mean life all of a sudden goes swimmingly. Quite the opposite. When we put Jesus at the center of our life and we live with him as our Lord, we're not divorced from the world and all that's in it. We still live in it and we still deal with its consequences. But with Jesus as Lord, we have the message of hope that he indeed is alive, that he indeed cares for God's creation and is one day coming back to set all things right. I challenge any of our idols to be able to even begin to make that promise. What are your idols? What are the things that each of us, as we look into our own hearts, need to set down? To take and to say, God, I'm ashamed to say this has been my idol. My pursuit of wealth, my pursuit of power, my pursuit of pleasure, my pursuit of myself. I'm ashamed to say I've allowed it to take your place in my life. And I lay it down. And by the power of your Spirit, Father, help me worship you alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to be ruthlessly calling out idols. As followers of Christ, may we live in such community with such honesty and such transparency that followers of Christ can come alongside and say, have you laid down your idols again today? Are you living your life to put Jesus at the center, the one true God, the God of hope and the God of grace? As we conclude our study of the Psalms, may we use Psalm 115 to be a vehicle to allow us to daily examine our lives and say, God, I feel that pull of these idols in my life, and before you now, in the name of Jesus, I lay them down because I want to bow to one and one God alone, the God who gives me hope and the God who's provided me grace in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will be like Mary and Steve and Ron and able to engage the people that we do life with and invite them in to a hope-filled life. Not a perfect life, not a life that's not affected by the brokenness of the world, but a life with Jesus at the center, where our eyes are always fixed upon his hope. I hope the Psalm study this summer has allowed you to cry out to God and lay your heartbreak before him. I hope in the study of our Psalms together, you have had the opportunity to have your heart overflow with joy at his goodness and to return that in a prayer. And as we close this morning, I pray that the Psalms might be used as a vehicle by the Holy Spirit to daily help us lay our idols down and help Jesus be welcomed as the center of our lives. The God who is alive, the author of hope and the provider of grace, who alone is worthy of our worship. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that you have commanded us to have no other gods before you. And Father, we're guilty. We're guilty of being people with idols on every shelf. And when we worship our idols and put them in first place of our lives, we crowd out the God of all creation. Father, by your Holy Spirit, use your word to remind us every day to lay down our idols and to bow to the God of all creation, our God of hope, our help and our shield, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.